The founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message you will hear now, recorded during Dr. Jones' earthly ministry, illustrates his firm conviction that whatever the Bible says is so.
The times come when we need some straight, practical preaching in this world. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "If I told you earthly things, you'd believe me. I tell you heavenly things," and said, "You don't believe me." And he said to Nicodemus, he said, "You have to be born again, see. You have to be born again." Now, if I was talking to a businessman that wanted to know about whether a certain investment was a good investment, and I was a good authority in that field, and I would tell him, he'd be very alert to know. Now, I find that the trouble with most people that ask you questions about the Bible, they don't ask them sincerely. They're trying to find a way around the Bible, see, to do what they want to do, see. You know, it's a terrible thing to do wrong, but it's an awful thing to go along and condone wrongdoing, to try to fix things up to make them look right when they're wrong. Now, that's exactly the way the devil operates. The devil in the Garden of Eden said to Adam and Eve, "You have a right to eat it, don't you? Why, you want it. And who's got a right to restrict you? Who should tell you not to?" Why, he said, "God must have it in for you. God Almighty must have it in for you. Why shouldn't you have it? Why, people say that to this day. Why shouldn't I do this?" I was talking some time ago to somebody about an evangelistic campaign where they had on the platform of this campaign men that didn't believe in the virgin birth, men that are known as religious liberals in this country. And there was on the platform men that believe the Bible and believe in the virgin birth and all these fundamentals. And I told this fellow, I said, "Now the Bible's clear, just as clear as day. Second Epistle of John said, if I have a group of Christians," I'm modernizing the picture a little, this is what it means. "If I invite a group of Christians to my house, good Orthodox Bible-believing Christians, and when I invite these good Bible-believing Christians, I invite a man that doesn't believe in the virgin birth or the incarnation and all that sort of thing, and doesn't believe in the blood atonement, doesn't believe in whatever the Bible says is so, just means that some of it's so, and what he says is so, and I have him there, I've given him the same recognition that I give the other people. I sit down there, I may say, 'Well, you all know where I stand, my friends. I believe this, but so-and-so, and so. What have I done?'" Well, somebody says, "Suppose you can do that, you might get to preach to the man." Now, wait a minute. God ought to know what he's talking about. No man does a good quality work for God that violates the scripture about how he's to do that work. You can't do a good job for God without doing that job in the way God tells you to do it. God says, "Don't let your good be evil spoken of." Now, some people are going to speak of your good deeds in a bad way, whether or not. You're not to dress it up to suit everybody. But you're to dress it up in a scriptural. And then, if people criticize it, you're not to blame. You're to do it in a nice way and say, "This is the word of God," and you're not to be mean and ugly. But it's the word of God. Now, I can't give Christian recognition to a man who doesn't believe the Bible. I give him American recognition. I can be a neighbor to him and talk to him over the back fence about his garden and all that. But I can't give Christian recognition to a man who repudiates the fundamentals of the faith. Because the Bible says, if I do that, I'm a partaker of his evil deed. If a fellow's converted unto me, I tell him to go to a good Orthodox Bible-believing church. I think that's my duty. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. The great evangelists of the world, like Billy Sunday and Moody and Chapman and Torrey and the rest of them, and all those old men that stood up and fought, they believe the Bible. They reproved and rebuked and exhorted and called men to repentance, and they believed all those things, and they didn't flinch. They stood up and stood true to them. Now, as I go along through life, I say, how should I deal about these things? What should I do about it? What should I do about the will of God and the guidance of God? A Christian and God's will for his life. Now, one thing about it, I mustn't compromise. I've got to stand true. Well, you say, can I always know the will of God? Yes, you can. You can know the will of God in everything. Well, you say, I don't see how I can. Well, it's very simple and clear in the Bible. You know it's the will of God to forgive sin. Yes, the Bible says so. Well, that's all right. That's settled. Well, you know it's the will of God to give you wisdom. Yes, the Bible says, for lack of wisdom, let him ask God and he'll give it to you. Well, that's clear. That's fine. Well, how must I treat a Christian? Suppose somebody that claims to be a Christian mistreats me. Well, now, everybody claiming to be a Christian isn't a Christian. But sometimes a Christian may get off and get out of fellowship, may mistreat you. Well, what should you do about it? The Bible told you what to do. Just smile and go ahead and don't notice it. No, it didn't say that. The Bible said if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. That's the first thing you to do. Now, wait a minute. Did you know we've gone far afield from that? Now we have an anemic religion in this country. We say, just go ahead, you know, go ahead, go ahead. And don't say, no, that's not what the Bible says. And you know what the hardest thing the world do is to rebuke him. Rebuke him. If thy brother trespass, you say, now you shouldn't have done that. That's wrong. Then what must do after I rebuke him? Nothing. Let him take the next step. What's the next step? If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And then what? If he repents, then forgive him. Hey. Suppose some fellow steals some money from me. Come round to my house and steal some money. And he called himself a Christian. And I know he stole the money. And I say, well, I just let him have it. I won't steal it. I owe that man a debt. My debt is to reprove him. I say, you stole my money. You had no right to do it. You know, there's nothing soft about Christianity. We've got a nation of professing Christians who are softies. And there's not anything like that in the Bible. I say, now, you shouldn't have stolen that money. Well, he said, I've got it here and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have done it. I repent. All right, then what do? I forgive him. But the command to rebuke is as strong as the command to forgive. And I'm not supposed to forgive a man for something he's done wrong until he repents. If I go ahead and cover up, that's what we're doing this day. Now, well, that's all right. Everything's all right, you know. It doesn't matter what you do. It isn't. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to trespass against your brother. It's wrong to be a discordant note in a Christian church. Now, sometimes in the church, it's your duty to stand up and reprove and rebuke condition in your church. That's different. Well, don't the Bible say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God? Yes, but Jesus Christ said he didn't come to give peace. He came to give a sword, see? You use a sword when a sword is necessary. He came not to give peace, but to bring a sword. Now, wait a minute. There is a peace that he came to bring. He said, my peace give I unto you, see? Unto you. Remember, you Christian as an individual, I give you my peace. Now, you can have the peace of God in your heart and use a sword in the battle while you're fighting. Now, let's get that clear. I am not to sit down as a Christian and condone things and go along with things and be a softy. And that's the kind of religion we are developing in America today. There are people in nearly all the big churches supporting programs. Good people call themselves Christian, going along because they want to be at peace with everybody and get along with everybody, and peace at any price, and they have no conviction. And the greatest need today in America is old-time Bible conviction. I had to do what God told me to do. What did he say? Rebuke him. What about peace? He said, all right, I'm not to have peace at any price. We have tribulation in this world. We go up against resistance. I'm the witness for Christ. Well, suppose I witness for Christ, and then I get in trouble. Now, wait a minute. In America, we have less excuse than any other country in the world. Somebody said to me not long ago, said, you know, what I do, they won't let me have a permit to preach on the street. Well, I said, I wouldn't preach on the street without a permit. He said, you wouldn't? I said, no, sir. I said, can you pass out tracts? He said, yes. Well, I said, get you some tracts and go down the street and give them to the people. You can do that. Yes, I can do that. All right, go give them the tracts. You can get some Bible, put it on track, and tell them how to be saved, and pass it out. Now, I wouldn't preach on a street corner if I couldn't get a permit in the city to do it. I'm supposed to do things decently in order. But in America today, you can get a permit to preach on most of the street. This fellow's in an uproar because he couldn't do it. Now, I think the city was wrong in not giving him a permit. And I think he should have got a permit, but I think the city should say where I could hold a street service. I think the mayor and the councilman should say to me, you can't preach here. You know, a mayor and the councilman have responsibility to folks that are sinners. They have responsibility to Jews, Catholics, everybody else. They're supposed to run a decent city. They have responsibility about what they do. Now, we have religious liberty in America. There's no excuse for us in America. There isn't anything in this country that we Christians ought to do that we can't do without going to jail. We can do what we ought to do without going to jail in America. Now, we not let our good be evil spoken of in all that kind of situation. And we ought to be true. But we ought to be courageous enough to stand. Wait a minute, we don't live in a Christian country. We live in a country where we can be a Christian without going to jail, without being persecuted. It's nice to live in that kind of country. Some places you'd be up against it. All right, now what do we say? What must I do? Well, I mustn't let my good be evil spoken of, but I must do right. Always heard the expression about rubbing the fur the wrong way. You know, they never blame the cat for being turned wrong. That's one strange thing about these fellows. They never say the cat ought to turn around. They always say you rub the fur the wrong way. They'll say that about you anyhow. No matter what you do, they'll say that about you. I never been to jail for preaching. Maybe I haven't preached straight enough. Sometimes I get to wondering about it. Paul, when he went to town, I said so many times he expected to spend a few days in jail. I imagine said, what kind of jail is there around here to get to town? Now listen just a minute. Now God has fixed it where there's no excuse for us, say. A Christian can, by the grace of God, go ahead and do a job for God in America with all the liberty he wants, and we better take advantage of it too. Because I'll tell you, this is a precious time, a precious season. I sometimes wonder what may happen in this nation the way things are coming. All the streams of foreign influence and flowing into America, and the old traditions of the Puritans and the Cavaliers, some of it's going away. And we better watch out. There's an ecclesiastical persecution that's being developed in America, but we still have the liberty we enjoy, and we can run a Christian school and live a Christian life. And now let's be sensible and faithful, but let's be courageous enough to stand as we ought to stand in the work of God and do the will of God and not compromise. It's never right to do wrong. It's never right to compromise the gospel. It's never right to preach the gospel and support something contrary to the gospel at the same time. It's never right to stand up and say you believe the Bible and give money to some school that doesn't believe the Bible. Let's be good, consistent Christians and be true to God. What do you say? Our Heavenly Father, give us the leadership of the Spirit and give us wisdom from above and strength for the task. Help us to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through this world on our way home. And help us to keep our guidebook always nearby. So when a problem comes up, to ask God in the Bible to show us what we ought to do, we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. If you're interested in an educational institution which stands without apology for the old-time religion, the absolute authority of the Bible, which emphasizes the fundamentals of the faith and has high cultural and academic standards, write to Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.